Welcome to the Movers and Checkers show from Entreprendre dans la mode. I am Adrien Garcia, designer and founder of a clothing brand, Réuni. In this show, I am having a conversation with a leading figure committed to a more sustainable, ethical and responsible fashion. The objective, understand the challenges and sharing solutions to improve practices within our industry. I hope this conversation will inspire you and will encourage you to act for a better now. The podcast is available on every platform, so don't forget to subscribe. Please, enjoy the conversation. Hello, everybody. Today, I am not the interviewer. I just wanted to share with you a conversation I get the chance to assist and record between activist and writer Kimberly Drew and British designer Vivienne Westwood. That was recorded last 5th of September on the occasion of the launch of a Changeons de Mode event initiated by Galerie Lafayette and their responsible movement, Go for Good. Please enjoy the conversation.
If everyone could quiet down and take seats. Thank you all so much for joining us for the kickoff program for Fashioning Change, Change de Mode. My French is terrible, apologies. I'm here hosted by Galerie Lafayette. My name is Kimberly Drew, and I'm a writer, curator, and activist based in New York City. I want to start tonight's festivities by first thanking the diligent and hardworking Galerie Lafayette team who made this evening a possibility. This project has been in works for some time, and your hard work does not go unseen. In my personal work, I am passionate about promoting accessibility, inclusion in the arts field, and beyond. I did some of this work most recently at the Metropolitan Museum of Art as their social media manager. And in that role and others, I'm often tasked with thinking about how to use my voice and skill sets to invite others into dialogue about culture. For far too many, art and culture are seen as impossible and unattainable and reserved for the wealthy. That's why tonight I am personally so thrilled to hear from this year's guest of honor, Dame Vivienne Westwood, a designer, activist, and former teacher who has given a voice and platform to so many folks who would otherwise be ignored in the world of culture. It's no secret to anyone here that we find ourselves in challenging times. As conservative regimes worldwide profit on the pain of others, we find ourselves at a crossroads. We are left to decide how we'll use our voice at the ballots and our dollars at the till. It is our everyday choices that give us agency to regain power and steer a better ship towards the future. And if we're being as honest as possible, the clock is ticking on making key changes towards making sustainability and equity part of our everyday lives. In times like these, many find optimism to be a chore. Back home in New York, I've had so many dead-ended conversations about the future and how little we have to hope for. As a Black American, and specifically as a queer Black American, I think I've always had no choice but to believe fully, if not somewhat ignorantly, in the possibility of the future. As James Baldwin once said, I can't be a pessimist because I am alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. Though tonight's format is a lecture by Dame Westwood, it cannot go understated that Westwood, more than most designers, has breathed life into an industry that is often inhumane. She's remained steadfast and committed to speaking truth to power. It is impossible to talk about activism and counterculture without considering and thinking Dame Westwood. Her love for humanity, for authenticity, and for expanding our horizons has kept her cemented as the fairy godmother of renegade voices looking for a leader, and her work is far from done. During tonight's lecture, Dame Westwood will talk to us about her mantra, buy less, choose well, make it last, and we are all surely in for a treat. As part of Fashioning Change, Galerie Lafayette has asked Vivienne Westwood to share her perspective and vision of sustainable fashion in tonight's lecture, as well as in a window display and a pop-up located on the first floor. It'll be on view through October 14th, so be sure to check it out. Dame Westwood has shown us how to choose well and in the best interest of our truest selves. She has fought for nuclear disarmament, animal and human rights, and now she's concentrating on her campaign for fashion businesses' switch to renewable energy. Please join me as I welcome Dame Westwood to the stage.
Yes, and Thank you very much, Galleries Lafayette, for inviting me, because it's an opportunity to give my message. And we don't have a future unless we do something this year. And if we don't do it this year, we have to do it next year, because it'll be too late the year after. That's it. And I've got a little bag there, and there's it's red and green. I'll show it to you, maybe. Somebody's got it. Laura, yeah. And it's got, if you draw a line level with Paris, once we go over the tipping point, the Earth will migrate to 5 degrees. And below that, where it's red, it's uninhabitable. You know, I'd had a lot to do with rock and roll and punk, and that's one of my slogans on the front. It says, too fast to live, too young to die. We are. The Earth is too fast. It's too fast to live. We're using it up, but it's too young to die. It could keep on going quite a bit longer. And the green bit, idiots who still think that somehow they will survive when everybody else dies, the ones who run the rotten economy I'm talking about, they think that that green space is going to be great. Oh, when the Arctic melts, we can catch more fish. We can do this. We can get all these other things. We can still keep on making a profit out of the destruction of the Earth. But they won't. There'll be methane bombs. There'll be the most terrible forms of death to anybody who's still alive at that point in time. Because the Earth, when it gets to 5 degrees, that will be its equilibrium. It will then just become a desert, more or less. But yeah, okay, that's that. Sorry, if I can just give that to somebody. Thank you. Now, so I am going to start because I came yesterday from doing a photo shoot, and I have made this banner here, and I'm going to tell you the message that's on the banner. Now then, so it goes like this. Wait a minute, how does it go? It goes, Rot Dollar is a love of money system run by all governments, global. Dollar is debt. IOU, that's what it means, a piece of paper. IOU, and it's actual debt. And the stage we're at the moment with Trump is bring it on, the more debt, the richer. I just want to explain how this all works. It's subsidized by the death of the Earth, by the death of lots of animal life and life on Earth. But just one specific example. You know the tar sands in Canada? Well, they are so, and they're a new form of getting oil and energy. And it's very, very destructive and hard to get this stuff. And so America's feeling very comfortable with fracking and all these ways of plundering the earth to get more poison out and create more poison in the atmosphere. It's all subsidized. The figure, the statistic, the tar sands in Canada, the value that they are sold at is 2% of what it actually costs to get it out. That's what I'm saying. That's how the money system works. And when I was a little girl, here I am at 4 years old, when I first went to school and they took school photographs, because people didn't have cameras in those days. It was a big luxury to own a camera. And that's the design for a back of playing cards. It says buy less. And when I was a little girl in 1946, after the war, actually, when I was making this banner, I remembered a song, and I just sung it right through that I knew then. the dollar was very popular. And I won't sing the whole song. You'll have to. I did sing it yesterday on my campaign. But it said, you can roll a silver dollar down upon the ground and it'll roll because it's round. A woman never knows what a good man she's got until she turns him down, down, down. Listen, I was going to sing the whole thing. No, no, I won't stop that anyway. And yeah, because it's the end of that song is that, you know, that a man without a woman is like a wreck upon the sand. There's only one thing worse in the universe, and that's a woman without a man. Anyway, it goes like that. But we loved America. And my parents met when they were at ballroom dancing. Even at 5 years old, we believed in romance, finding the right man, growing up, having a happy life, found a husband, have your children, there's your happy life. And that's we loved the dollar. We did not know then that the dollar was going to be run for investors and monopolies. Anyway, the point is I'm just going to finish what this banner says now. Okay, so it goes, so rock dollar causes poverty and it's debt. And then it also causes climate change. And climate change, this is what happens. We're now in a loop with the economy and the climate. They're in a loop, two snakes eating each other's tail. They're each destroying the other in a feedback loop. So the economy is crashing. The crash will happen within 10 years, according to all the economists. Nobody will be able to rescue the banks again. That's the thing. Meanwhile, Trump is saying, bring it on. We can all live on debt forever. That's been the policy of the money system since the 1930s crash. Let's just create debt. Let's just live on debt. And it can't last forever. Right, now then, so, and then the loop continues because governments are responsible for this rock dollar system. Worldwide, every government supports this system. They run this system. And so the loop continues because governments create poverty, and poverty creates crime, and therefore politicians are criminals. Every politician who is responsible for running rock dollar is the cause of world crime, nearly all of it. And so, for example, I've written on the bottom, a 12-year-old girl, sex trafficked. Boris Johnson's responsible, Trump's responsible, Obama's responsible. You can't change the president until you change the rock dollar system. And we've got the solution, because the solution is one world rent. And I'm going to explain that. I'm just giving the background, then I'm going to talk about fashion in a little while, okay? Because things are happening. Things are really, really happening. So I've forgotten what I said I would talk about, but just leave that alone because I can't remember. But I want to talk about why things are changing. I was going to tell you about the new economic system. You can read about it in that pamphlet that we gave you. That's what it's about. And so it's about, I'll just tell you what it's about quickly. It is about, wait a second. If I would say to you, real wealth is land. Land is in your pamphlet, but land with an asterisk. That's what I mean, because land means everything that grows on the earth, and it means what's in the sky, the airwaves that these people use for the internet, whatever it's called, all this stuff, and the ocean. And I would say to you, none of this should be privately owned. Now then, most of it is, or people have free use of the air, whatever. So most of it's owned. We've got something where industrial fishing, is subsidised. I mean, so we're like giving people permission to own the ocean as well by doing that. So if I would say to you that real wealth, meaning land asterisk, is privately owned, and it shouldn't be, and it should belong to everybody, you'd all be nodding and you're saying, yes, this is true, it should not be privately owned. This is wealth. How can people own the wealth? It should not belong to everybody, because that's communism. It should belong to nobody. That is the radical new solution of how to change the economy. So there would be no tax whatsoever. Nobody would pay income tax, nothing to do with that. There would be just one rent paid into a responsible government who hold this authority in democratic trust. Doesn't belong to them. And so that would be the only rent paid. And it would actually be, it would be programmed in such a way, it's implicit in it because it's a fair distribution of wealth. That's what it amounts to. Implicit in there is that it would impose the protection of the planet. It would do that. I'll give you an example. I would change this pamphlet a little bit that you've got, because I thought to myself, okay, so we're going to tell everybody who owns land, it's easier to tax the airwaves because nobody really owns that, but people own the land. Nobody's going to accept that we have to now start paying rent for something we own. What about the French farmers? They're not going to like that, are they, Mr. Macron? They won't like that at all. And just thinking about that in there, but I thought a bit further and I thought, well, it's really, really easy. All you've got to say is, well, you don't own the land, but don't worry, nothing's changed at all. You can hold it in perpetuity so long as it's run properly for the benefit of everybody, not just to make quick profit, where the cows are just milked three or four times a day and just, you know, everything's suffering and you can't be enjoying your job, can you? You know, so, you know, all we've got to do is say you've got to, we want farms, not factories, for example, with regard to the cows. This will, in fact, by actually running the land properly, we will save the planet. We'll do what's good for the planet as much as possible. And so, within this new economy, that's what will happen. Now, I want to say that when I started my activist website called Climate Revolution, I'm just thinking I'd better get on with the fashion. But anyway, when I started my website, Climate Revolution, my idea was we've got to analyse the problem, and we've got to find the solution. And we've got to work with all the NGOs, the non-government organisations, and the charities, so that we speak with the same voice. Because if those people did speak, it would be a democratic voice. It would be the voice of the people, the voice of the planet. At the moment, we don't have democracy, because all the politicians are working against people. People are their enemy. They just want to exploit them and get them to buy all this rubbish and die. You know, I mean, because that's what the program is. They're only looking after the investors and the monopolies, like I said, and their own self-interest. So, but it never happened. We never somehow or other did get them to speak with their with one voice and all work together. But now, I think that it can work because we've got a focus for them. The focus is you've all got to promote the one world rent, the new economy. You know, so I think we can actually start to work together, and I think we can be an alternative to government. Government's not democratic. It can be a way of forcing democracy upon the world, you know. So this is my focus. I want to talk about Greta Thunberg. She is wonderful. In my whole life, I've never met anybody who has served the cause of democracy as this little girl has done. Because what she's done is so incredible, she's given people a focus. Now then, for example, there's a march in England, a big demonstration planned. I'm going to close our shops. I'm going to close our office on that day so that people can go on this march. And people are starting... what I'm going to do there is... What I'm saying is that that march would have happened because of the mess we're in. But maybe it wouldn't have had so many people. Maybe Galeries Lafayette would not have had this event this year. They might have had it next year instead. It's given people a focus because people have started to feel responsible that they have to do something. The thing she says that is most important of all is, if you continue to live your life the way you do, nothing will change. You can't just do a bit of recycling, for example. That's fine, but it's not. You've got to change your lifestyle. And one of the things I've been saying, for example, is nobody needs a car in Paris except a taxi driver or a person in the same thing in England. What about these mothers who have to ship their children, you know, an hour's drive away from their home because they think it's a better school there, and they're just driving them everywhere there. Then on the weekend, there's a lady next door who does this, and then she drives to her country house with them. So these kids do have a relationship with the people in school. What about the local school? It'd be a lot better school if parents, instead of spending that hour in the cab, she could go and have a chat to the teachers and help or whatever. It could be a community. You know what I'm saying? You're just not engaging with the world. It's much more adventurous to go by public transport. I'm just talking, you need a car to get out of Paris. Okay, we'll sort that one out by in another way, but or get on the train. But yeah, anyway, so I'm just saying we have to change things, not just take this idea of consumption and comfort and habit. And the politicians, of course, I've talked about that a couple of times, but Greta says to them, how can you say that you don't have the... Fine, how can you say you can't afford to care about the climate? You're too busy running the rotten financial system. How can you say this when you're giving trillions of dollars to the fossil fuel industry to subsidise it? You know, so we've got to get out of our habits. And so it's really, really important. And what I'm saying is something has happened because I think we've got to focus. So... fashion. All right. Okay. Now then, so it was reduce, reuse, recycle. And I care really more or less only about the reduce. That's the end I'm working on. Of course, I care. I welcome the other things that are happening. Reuse. Stella Tennant has, she is working with Oxfam, who have charity shops of second-hand clothing. And she does a fashion show every year with their reusable clothes, you know, their stuff. And they have come up with an idea this season that it's got to be, we're asking people, all of September, don't buy clothes. Have it a shopping-free month for clothes, okay? And she came up with a statistic, and she said that to wear a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, for one person to wear that, just to make it, the cost of that is 13 years of drinking water for one person. Now then, so one thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to make any jeans anymore. Tell them to go to Oxfam and get some. I'm not going to do that. That's one thing I don't have to do. I don't need to make jeans. I can make, well, Andreas and Contala can make the most beautiful dresses in the world. I don't have to make jeans. Somebody else can do that. But so that's just an example of what I'm talking about, my program for fashion, and that is reduce. So next season, I will reduce my collection by half. That means less travel, less people having to travel to Italy. I can't make clothes in England. We tried, and they're not good enough. So we're still working in Italy. I'm going to try, but you know, we have to travel. And we will need to travel less, because what the designer wants is to make beautiful clothes at the right price. And so you'll be able to spend a bit less time travelling, because you've got all these deadlines and you've got a contract with somebody that you're supposed to produce so many shirts a year and all this. You don't have to do that anymore. You can decide for yourself what you're doing. Anyway, and so it will start to reduce. And that I won't go into it any further about how it will start to reduce. But one reason why I continue in fashion is because I want a model company for the future. Because I hope also that we're going to have a future. And so I would like to have a model fashion company for the future. And that company, as I said, the designer wants beautiful clothes at the right price. So I would even make it a law that after you've expanded your company to a certain extent, that you're not allowed to expand anymore. Because I think that you need to expand in order to get your minimums and get your right price so you sell the right number of clothes. Once you've done that, you can just keep on making the clothes cheaper if you want, getting them better made, getting more value for money, put your resources back into your company. And then if you ever do make a profit, then you have to, then you give that money to charity for the moment. You know, when we get a world that works proper with a fair distribution of wealth, you know, we'll all be able to afford the clothes we want, etc., etc. But yeah, so I think we can make a really, that's what I'm trying to do. Okay, and I don't need to give any more examples, but cotton, you've got to see it as a luxury fabric. Costs absolutely another two planets to carry on making cotton as we've got at the moment. We must have used nearly all the water table or poisoned it by now. And so it all depends. The answer to everything is a fair distribution of wealth. And that is what I'm proposing. Now, I think I've more or less talked about fashion. I think that's all I wanted to really say. Yeah, I think so. So that'll do. Thank you. So if Kimberly wants to ask me some questions,
yes, I'm right here.
There she is. Okay, then I can continue with anything I've forgotten to say. Okay, thank you.
So my first question for you is, when did you first become inspired to speak publicly about these issues?
Well, I don't know. I think that when we opened our Let It Rock shop ages ago, which led to punk rock, that little tiny shop in the King's Road. I was an activist then. I'll tell you about punk. I was an activist because the Vietnam War politicized my generation. And so what was so terrible is that after the war, when the war was over, and the hippie movement, probably for that reason, sort of went all much more calm, and, you know, and then became no longer perhaps the height of fashion anymore. Something else took over, and that happened to be punk, actually. And and we wore swastikas, and I was very uncomfortable about wearing those, even in those days. I wouldn't wear one today, because it may, but the reason we did it is because the people who caused the Vietnam War, the Americans actually manufactured that war demographically. They actually caused it. And so when they did that, the same people were in power. And so we were just like youth against age, the older generation. They've still got those same people that are the warmongers that caused the death and the destruction and the torture. You know, those photographs shooting a little man in the street through the head and stuff. I mean, and so that's what it was. I was doing it then. Now then, people, we made a sensation straight away when I went in that shop, because we were doing kind of rock and roll instead of hippie. It was a new fashion, like go back to rock and roll. And so people were interested in that. And we thought that, you know, as I said, it was youth against age. We were angry. We just thought, you know, it was just a very nice thing. You know, daddy, you're too square. We're just going to, you know, wear our shirts back to front and, you know, and whatever. We don't like all your values at all. And I really thought it evolved into designing a kind of look for an urban gorilla. And I thought we were going to do something. As it happened, it didn't work out. But I people used to come and start to try and interview me, and I just got used to it. And that's all I have to say, yeah, about when did I first start. I just got used to it.
Yeah. With someone with a history as accomplished as yours, how do you remain optimistic in these dark times?
Sorry, when was
how do you remain optimistic?
I don't remain optimistic all the time. I feel terrible sometimes. I just think, I mean, the other day I was so tired and I just thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I was so tired and I wanted to go to sleep and I thought, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm just going to pretend somebody else can live my life. Somebody else do it. I can't keep on doing this. Nothing's happening. You know, you get like that. But I've obviously got an optimistic nature. I'm very, I'm an intellectual. I love reading. I love, well, I'll tell you, I feel, what's it called when the devil takes you and you're possessed? I feel possessed by ideas. The older you get, the more ideas you get. And they all cross-fertilise. And you can't believe the ideas that happen to you. And it's very, very exciting. And on an intellectual, I've just been writing all this Taoist poetry. And it's brilliant. And I don't know. And I just got a lot to live for. And, yeah. And so there's that. But I tell you what drives every activist. And it's because they care about suffering. And I think you're born an activist. And I think that you're born an activist because you really put yourself in other people's shoes and think, that could be me. And it's not only people being blown up the minute they're born or tortured to death or all these terrible things that happens to at least half the people in the world, you know. I mean, it's not just only that. It's that I think you're born with your character and your identity. And your character is like a bag of tools. You'll always act in a certain way. You'll always do this or that differently, just like you would only do it. And so I think that the journey through life is to be able to exploit your own potential. You get out what you put in, follow your deep interest. And in the end, I believe in something called chi, your chi, which is your best self, your highest authority. You've just got to listen to it and follow your best interest. And if you will, if you do that, by the end of your life, you will become your best self. You will become who you are. And I just, you know, I just believe in life, and that's that, you know, yeah.
I think that's a fabulous place to close. Thank you so much, Dame Westwood.
Yeah, get alive.
Thank you all so much for joining us. Come back and visit as often as possible before October 16th to see all that's going on with Fashion and Change. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Entreprendre dans la Mode. If you like the episode, please send a message to my guests to thank them for their generosity. If you want to support Entreprendre dans la Mode, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you follow. Just click on the subscribe button, rate it 5 stars, and leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts. To not miss any news, follow me on Instagram or Twitter. Thank you for listening to Entreprendre dans la Mode, and see you next week for a new episode.